Hi, I'm Joy Manning, editor of Edible Philly Magazine.
And I'm Marisa McClellan, author of Food in Jars.
Welcome to Local Mouthful. We're here to talk about living the food life in Philadelphia and beyond. This week we're chatting casseroles, store-bought edible gifts, and good drinks to serve for the holiday season. But first, let's compare notes on something that we read this week. I have to tell you, my food writing world was rocked to its core.
Yes, I know. It's crazy.
Chris Kimball is leaving Cooks Illustrated, and Dana Cowan is leaving Food & Wine. I don't even know what magazines I like anymore.
I know. I don't really know what to think or how to be about it or what's going to happen to the future of food journalism, because they have been so instrumental. And I thought Chris Kimball owned.
I think he is a part owner.
Yeah. I don't understand. How can he be sort of leaving? It seems like he's been kicked out. I don't understand.
It does seem like he's being kicked out, but it also seems like he was holding out for something that the majority owners and current business leaders want us to think is unreasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Chris Kimball, to me, is Cooks Illustrated. I'm a huge fan of Jack Bishop, who was promoted either shortly before this or in the wake of all of this.
Yeah.
Chris Kimball is going to host the show, I guess, through 2016. Mm-hmm. But his involvement with the magazine and the books is ending. And I guess the website, which I am a paying member of and I visit every day.
Wow.
And then Food & Wine. I mean, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that Food & Wine is the magazine that made me want to be a food writer. And Dana Cowan is directly responsible for
I know. She's been the editor for like 22 years.
I know. I've been the most proud of having my byline in Food & Wine. I think that their recipes are among the most consistent and delicious. Their features are wonderful.
Yeah. Well, what's been nice about that too is that in the sea of changes that have happened over the last few years in food magazines, Food & Wine has been the only one that has been consistent. And so to finally have it the sort of the last beacon of what had been this really robust food journalism world sort of now dimming. I don't know. It makes me feel uncertain about what I want to read. Even.
I'm terrified they are going to hire a dude editor because we have all of them across all of the titles now. And I just don't want them to hire a dude. There's enough.
I know.
We need a woman at the helm at Food & Wine.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, and I'm not totally familiar with that world, but I don't know who they would. And for some reason, like having these sort of macho dudes be the editors of food magazine is the trend right now.
I know,
and I don't like it.
And I'm not against having men at the helm, obviously.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. Like, we need some more of a more balanced perspective here. And Food & Wine to me is one of the leading lights. It's so glamorous, it's so authoritative. I don't know. It has been very smart, very prescient about trends. I don't know. I'm finding it pretty disturbing. It'll be very interesting to see how it sort of unravels or
shakes out, perhaps.
Yes. Or maybe it's going to unravel.
Maybe
I don't know.
It's going to unravel.
I definitely read a lot of comments online about Cooks Illustrated in particular. People being like, I'm not watching. I'm not reading. Chris Kimball is the thing.
Yeah.
And did you see that he might be starting his own media company with his wife?
No, I missed that.
Anyway, those two are apparently contemplating starting their own food media.
Fascinating.
The whole thing is very soap opera-like and fascinating to me.
It is. Well, it'll be really interesting to see where it all goes.
I'm hardly canceling my subscription, though. I need those recipes.
It is. Cooks Illustrated is so reliable. When I want to know what, like, the best way to do something is, they are always the answer.
You know I love them.
I do.
And I hope that I will continue to love them through this, but that remains to be seen.
Truly.
Well, now we need some comfort food, I think. In a changing world and a shifting landscape.
I agree. And
how is dinner going to make us feel better?
Well, because we're going to make a casserole.
Excellent.
To me, especially this time of year when life gets a little bit more frenetic, there is nothing like falling back to a casserole to make everything feel more manageable, to make me feel like dinner is handled. It's one less thing to worry about. It makes good leftovers. It feeds a crowd. I am all for casseroles. Now, I know that they have sort of a
stodgy reputation.
Yes. But I really believe that it's relatively easy to bring fresh life into a classic casserole.
What are some of your favorites?
I really love doing a beans and rice casserole. So something simple, easy, maybe with a pound of ground turkey or ground beef or something, but super simple. I will scatter maybe 3/4 cup of brown rice in the bottom of a like 3-quart baking dish. I'll add salsa because I'm, you know, I'm a canner. I always have some homemade salsa, but you can use just a jar of store-bought salsa. You can saute up your meat, a couple of cans of beans, a little water or tomato puree to add a little liquid, top it with cheese.
Do you add the rice raw or cooked?
I add the rice raw.
Okay, how do you know how much liquid to add then?
Well, because you want to add about, so the sauce is going to add some, but you want to add about a cup of water. Make sure you have at least a cup of water for every cup of rice. Because
Do you do 1-to-1?
Well, for a casserole, because there's so many other things adding moisture. So if for 3/4 cup of rice that I put in the bottom of this casserole, then I'll just add, make sure I've added either 3/4 cup of water or chicken stock or something. And then, you know, with the salsa and maybe some tomato sauce or something like that, that's all going to add enough liquid that it's going to cook up. And then you just kind of combine everything, maybe some sauteed, peppers. I always add kale because I can't resist.
What about cheese or something to bind it?
I top it with cheese. Oh. You don't really need to put the cheese in with everything. And it turns out to be this really delicious casserole. It lasts for days. It feeds a crowd. And it's a really easy one. Another always classic and easy is just a pasta bake, which, you know, if I'm going to holiday potluck or when I go to stay with my sister for Christmas, there is – you know, it becomes that there are seven of us in the house with her family and my parents and me. And then she has a lot of friends in the area. They're always dropping by. So I tend to make 2 or 3 casseroles over the course of the week I stay with her over the holidays, just to make sure that there's something easy that everyone can sort of reach for. It's good for dinner. It's good for lunch the next day. I am all about the casserole.
My favorite casserole is a relative of the pasta bake, and it is eggplant parmesan.
Oh, that's a good one.
I usually bake the eggplant. I like to slice it thin, but not too thin. And it's just so, I really find it comforting and good. My mom, who's not like a super, super big cook, she does make a few things.
Yeah.
And her eggplant parm is one of my most favorite things.
It's a good one.
And I still really like it. Another favorite of mine is from Deborah Madison's Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone, which I've talked about on the show before.
It's a great book. Why? Yeah.
She's got a wild rice and Gruyere casserole that is like, there's leeks in it. It's just so good.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I'm also a big fan of a savory bread pudding because it uses up leftovers. It's a great one for, you know, if you have leftover holiday ham or something like that, you can, you know, toss it together. You don't want to make it sort of bread pudding with lots of eggs, but some like chicken stock, some cheese, some sauteed greens, any leftover holiday meat, throw it all together, little cheese on top.
Where do you stand on what is probably the most iconic casserole, tuna noodle?
I haven't made it in years. I definitely made a tuna noodle casserole or two when I was in college. I don't love hot canned tuna, which makes it sort of a hard sell. I'd much prefer to do sort of another variation with, you know, sort of something similar with noodles and maybe some chunks of chicken and like artichoke hearts or something. Yeah, a chicken. That's an easier sell for me. There's something about hot canned tuna that doesn't quite work in my...
You don't like a tuna melt?
A tuna melt is a little bit more delicious to me than a tuna noodle casserole.
Interesting. Just curious about that.
Yeah. But, you know, my basic message for casseroles in this modern era is that there's so much you can do without making a, you know, without pulling out a can of creamed soup.
Don't overlook the casserole.
It's a good one. It's just, and the best thing about a casserole too is you can make it ahead of time.
Right. I love anything you can make ahead of time.
You can double it. You can freeze them. You know, it's great to have in the freezer if you have a dinner emergency. You can make it in the morning, pop it in the oven when you get home at the end of the day. Oh yeah. Love them. So from casseroles to more holiday giving. Now, we've talked a little bit about homemade edible gifts a couple weeks ago.
Which are wonderful and thoughtful, but do take some of your precious time.
Yes.
And today we're going to talk about ones that take some of your precious money.
It's true. You can either spend time or money. And so today we want to share a few of our favorite store-bought or farmer's market-bought edible holiday gifts where you can pick something up and share it with a friend or a family member and let them know you care, but not have to slave for weeks.
These are pretty special ideas, like splurgy things that you would definitely you know, make a statement. We're not talking about, you know, a Whitman sampler or something.
Yeah, these aren't the things you pick up at the drugstore. These definitely will be appreciated.
Yes.
What's your favorite?
Well, I have quite a few favorites, but I want to start with Eclat chocolates.
So good.
Made in Westchester by chocolatier Christopher Curtin. And I believe it was Jeffrey Steingarten who called his salted caramels the best candy in the country.
Wow.
Have you ever, you must have had these chocolates.
Oh, I've had them. I didn't realize they had been that highly lauded,
and
though.
They make, I mean, he does the caramels in a zillion different types of chocolates and bars and truffles, and they are all the most outstanding chocolates I have ever had. And I do give them as a gift sometimes if I feel like, you know, something really special is required.
Yeah. I also, for local chocolate, I really like John and Kira's because they come in the pretty little boxes. You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah, they're not your favorite?
I feel like those are not Eclat chocolates.
True. But I also feel like sometimes you might have someone who likes chocolate but doesn't appreciate the very best.
True. That's true.
They're very cutesy. Yeah, they're charming.
Yes.
And when it's more important, the presentation and the charm factor, I really like John and Kira's for like – The whole presentation.
Yeah, they're definitely a cutesy local brand. Another thing I recommend most highly is the High Street Panettone.
I haven't had that one, but I can only imagine how good it is.
You have to have it this year.
Okay.
Maybe I will get it for you. I'll violate my own gift-giving policy and get you one. Tanaya Darlington, who was a previous guest on our show, actually wrote a magnificent feature story for Edible Philly last winter about how this Panettone came to be and how, you know, it's a very elaborate multi-week process.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to put a link to the story in the show notes, and it will make you want to go get this Panettone. And it is nothing like these Panettones that you may have had before.
Which, you know, are not bad. Like a Whole Foods, they're not bad, but this sounds like it is a whole other level of Panettone, and I'm excited to experience it.
And while I'm on the topic of overpriced bread with fruit in it, I want to talk about Robert Lambert's fruitcakes.
Okay.
Have you heard about these?
I have not.
He's based in California. He has like special citrus grown just for him.
Oh my gosh.
His cakes have things like Buddha's hand in them.
Wow.
And the craziest part is his most popular fruitcakes have been aged 1 year. So, you know, he bakes them. They're full of this amazing candied fruit. Then they're doused with like some type of spirit or liqueur. And then they're aged for a year. And they are small.
Uh-huh.
Like that big. I'm showing Marisa like a square of like, I don't know, 4 inches by maybe 8 inches.
A little
inches.
Small loaf cake shape.
And they cost like $55 to $75.
Well, I imagine if you're aging a cake for a year, like just the sheer storage
space. You can buy the
space.
Unaged ones though, and they are still quite expensive, but they are so good, and they are fruitcakes for people that don't like fruitcake.
That sounds really good.
I bought one year, and I don't think I'll ever buy one again because of the expense, but wow, I would. They're so good. So other things on my list include Termini's Terrone.
Uh-huh.
Have you had this?
I have.
Also outstanding. Yeah. The best I've ever had. Terrone is an Italian nougat candy with almonds and pistachios in it, and it is just so delightful.
Yeah.
Theirs is a little softer, I would say, than normal, a bit more marshmallowy. They only make it in the winter when the cold conditions are right.
Yeah.
And it's very special. And the last thing that I want to is Barbuzzo's salted caramel
budino.
Have you had this?
Oh yeah, I have not missed the budino.
Barbuzzo is an Italian restaurant, and this is a very popular dessert. And for special times of the year, like during the holidays between December 18th and December 24th, you can buy a 6-pack at Verde, which is a gift shop in Center City. I'll also put that link on the site. Okay, so there we go. Those are my top choices for special, delicious store-bought holiday food gifts.
They sound really good. I just have a few to add. First of all, one of the food gifts that my cousins always used to send us that became a beloved family tradition was, we always just called it the apple. And various people sell this thing, but it is a giant either Fuji or Gala apple that has been dipped in caramel and then dipped in dark chocolate and then rolled in toasted almonds.
Tasty.
It's delicious. It makes you feel slightly healthier because it's an apple. It's a candy bar with an apple inside.
Getting one of your fruit servings.
Yes, exactly. So that's always been a favorite, and a couple different companies make them and sell them. But another one I want to recommend is our friend Camille's Honey Company, Old Blue Raw Honey. Now, you and I both met Camille through food writing and blogging. Right. And she and her husband, they live in Oregon, in sort of rural Oregon, and they make honey. They don't make it personally. The bees do it. But they have hives all over the state. And so they have different varietals of honey. And you can get these like 3-pack honey tasting kits where you can have they'll range in flavor depending on where the hives were. So some are down the coast, some are in the woods, some are in farmland. And so you get these very unique and different flavored honeys depending on where the hives were.
The honey is very – Camille gave me a little bottle of it when I last saw her. And my husband, who is a huge like Winnie the Pooh type lover of honey.
Uh-huh.
He ate it up so fast, and he was like, where's that great honey? It's really something special.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
It would be a treat for someone like that.
It would. And it's nice, too, because they have different little packs, and they're really working hard right now to expand their operation. So right now it's sort of limited, but they just bought a house, and it has property on it with space for an extraction and packing facility and hopefully a tasting room. Hmm. And so at some point, someday soon, you'll be able to go and taste this honey in Oregon.
Do we have to take a trip to Oregon when she gets this set up to check it out?
Yes.
I think we might be coming.
Absolutely. And then one more suggestion, which I'll confess is a little self-serving.
But I asked you to put it on
the
list.
So I have recently partnered with Ben Wank at Three Springs Fruit Farm. He is using several of my recipes to produce his preserves, which is kind of a fun thing. We talked a lot about it. I made some really good suggestions about like what I thought would work well with his fruit. And he took the recipes that I've written and, you know, worked them out so they'd work in large scale. And so there's going to be a tart cherry jam, a salted brown sugar peach butter, and my classic tomato jam, all available for sale through Three Springs Fruit Farm.
Your tomato jam is the best. I'm going to buy some.
So, so that's a fun one too, particularly if you know someone who really likes the preserves that they've made from my book, or you gave them something and they want more, you can now buy it.
Where do you order it on the website? Do you pick it up at the farmer's market?
You can either order it through their website and they're going to be shipping, or you can just go to one of the farmer's markets where Three Springs Fruit Farm.
I'm so excited you guys are working together on that.
It's really
fun. So cool.
It's really exciting. So that'll be another really good one.
Because I always want to have tomato jam, but I don't always want to make it.
It's funny, when I was visited my parents recently, and my parents still had tomatoes from their garden. They had been picked green and had been slowly ripening next to a window. And I made a batch of tomato jam for my parents because there were tomatoes, and why not? It was so good.
It's the best.
It is delicious. So from holiday giving to holiday drinks. Joy, this is always your neck of the woods.
Let me preface this by saying I'm already planning another dry month for myself in January. But until then, I intend to enjoy some beverages.
Yes.
And for me, the ultimate holiday beverage is sparkling wine. Prosecco is great and reasonable.
Yeah.
Cava is from Spain. Prosecco is from Italy. Cava is from Spain. I like to buy something dry. And of course, you know, if you're going to – you might as well get some champagne if it's in the budget. It can be super – I mean, if not now, when? Yeah. So that's one of my highest recommendations for holiday drinking. And also, I think it's good to like perfect a cocktail.
Yeah, I agree.
Dan and I this year have been working on our old fashioned. We bought like the big ice tray, the big ice cubes, the big square ice cubes. We're making different kinds of simple syrup.
It's fun.
So I think we're planning to do a round of old fashions for some holiday gatherings this year. Hopefully just one. We don't want to start a problem, but and for non-alcoholic beverages, I do think it's nice to have sparkling water on hand. If you have some of like Marisa's syrups, all the better.
A homemade shrub, which is always good.
A homemade shrub would be delightful as well. There are some recipes I flagged in Amanda's book for, oh my gosh, it's totally, what's the fermented fizzy beverage
kombucha?
Called?
Mm-mm. Oh, kvass.
Kvass. There are some very festive looking kvasses in Amanda's book I want to make. What about you? What are you planning on drinking?
Well, because I come from a family that doesn't drink alcohol a whole lot, and because none of us can handle it, we always do things like sparkling apple cider for those moments when you want to feel celebratory and yet not have a headache. I also really like Spindrift Seltzer these days. It's very lightly flavored with fruit juice, and so they have a raspberry, lemon, or lime one. And they also have like a grapefruit one, and they're great on their own. Or you can add, I mean, if you're doing a cocktail, you can also add something to them and makes them sort of even more special. I also, on the alcohol side, I was recently at a party at Tanaya Darlington's. I feel like she's come up a couple times today. And she was hosting a little party for Johanna Kindvall, who was one of the people who wrote the book Fika, which is all about
the Scandinavian sweets?
Scandinavian coffee traditions. Mm. But in it, it has a chapter about the holidays. And they made a mulled wine with that was then sweetened with a little bit of brown sugar that they set on fire with some pouring either rum or brandy on top. And then it had a bunch of spices, and then you topped off your glass with walnuts and raisins. So you had this little nut and dried fruit thing at the bottom that would soak in the alcohol.
So, so strange.
It was so unusual, but it was so delicious.
Sounds good.
It was great. And so it was the best mulled wine I'd ever had. So I hope to do that at least once this holiday season, you know, just warm it and then adding the sugar and setting it on fire, but then you put a lid on it so that you don't burn off all the alcohol, because what would be the point if you burned off all the alcohol? But it was so nice, and I like holiday drinks that you sip, you know, where I can really sort of nurse it for a long time, because for me, again, I'm not going to be able to drink much, and so right. I like something where I can stretch out the experience.
You know what I've always wanted to make, but I haven't yet? Eggnog from scratch.
Like aged eggnog?
Maybe not necessarily aged, but like eggnog from eggs and not from the carton. Have you ever made that?
I have never made it. I've always been curious about it. But it's one of those things, you know, if I was going to do it, I'd want to do like the aging process. But again, with my refrigerator,
right,
to dedicate a quart or a half gallon of storage space to something that I don't know how it's going to turn out,
I can't. It seems like that might be a good holiday drink for you, because nobody really drinks more than one eggnog.
That's
it's
true.
Too rich.
That is true.
Maybe this will be the year that I try.
I think you should do it and report back.
Also, boozy hot chocolates. Do you ever go in for a boozy hot chocolate?
I do like it's a tasty splash of something. And also just the classic hot toddy is awfully nice around the holidays.
Tell me how you make a hot toddy again.
I do it.
I've never had one in my
You've
life.
Never had one?
I don't think so.
Well, the way I often do it is you can either – I like to do it with maybe a little apple cider. So maybe either some tea or just honey.
Like plain black tea?
Yeah, that's sometimes, but the classic is really just honey and lemon and hot water and then maybe a little bourbon.
Honey, lemon, hot water, and bourbon. That sounds fine. I mean, I think that would be good.
It's nice. It's warming. It's, if you have a sore throat, it's a good one.
I could see that.
It feels celebratorily medicinal, which I know sounds like a contradiction in
terms. Well, I mean, during the winter season, we're always trying to guard against the sore throat.
That's right.
Sounds like it might be a good preventative measure.
It's nice. I like it.
And do you go in for punch?
I have never really been a punch person. I feel like punch is the road to madness because it's so easy to overdo it with punch. It's been a trend at restaurants and like bars around here recently to have like a house punch. And every time I get it, I'm disappointed. Hmm. It's either too boozy or too out of balance for me.
Well, I'm sure there will be no shortage of cocktail options at our houses and the places we visit and the places we go out.
It's true.
It's that time of year.
If you try something that you particularly love this holiday season, please let us know. We're always looking for new good ideas
and
for holiday drinks.
Why don't you think about joining me in a dry January?
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
Be good to have a little community of supporters. I already asked my husband to join me. I don't know if he's going to, but maybe one of you would like to be my support system.
So let's talk a little bit about what's at the market this week. My favorite thing, particularly this time of year, to keep on hand for if I have guests over, is fromage blanc. So it's just a basic creamy white young cheese. It's nothing too fancy or complicated, but it's a great one to have.
Is it spreadable?
It is spreadable.
Is it like cream cheese?
It is not as thick as cream cheese. It's a little lighter. Hopefully, but it'll have a similar kind of tang to it. And it's great to serve alongside like a fruit compote or a chutney. I often will serve it alongside like a loose cranberry jam or conserve. It's great with like an apple pear chutney or just alongside maybe some pickles or something like that. I like it because you can use it for breakfast. You know, if you have people staying with you, you can buy a good loaf of bread, put out some fromage blanc, maybe some jams or even like drizzle a little maple syrup on top, and it's really delicious. It's also great if you want to put together a cheese board, but you want to have something that's not challenging on your cheese board, because as much as I tend to think, well, doesn't the whole world love a really stinky blue cheese? I have learned they don't. And
those weirdos.
And so to have something that's sort of light and approachable for people who aren't looking for those really stinky cheeses, it's nice. It's nice to offer your guests, very thoughtful. It's also a great ingredient in baking. If you're making some sort of pound cake and you run out of sour cream, or you're making a quick bread and you need yogurt or something, fromage blanc can serve in both of those applications. And so it's just a nice.
Is it like creme fraiche?
It's not as.
I've clearly never had this.
It's more cheesy than creme fraiche. It's just like a fresh cheese. It's similar to ricotta, but it's not going to be as grainy. If you've ever had, have you ever had Claudio's ricotta?
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to that. Mm. So very light and rich and delicious and not real challenging, which is, you know.
Sometimes just what you want.
Sometimes exactly what you want. And it's just a good one, too, if someone's brought you a jar of jam or something and you want to use it up. You can also make a pretty little spread with it, layer it in a glass dish, fromage blanc at the bottom, a layer of jam at the top, and then another layer of fromage blanc on top, and it becomes this little sort of pretty, use something that's nice and red. It becomes very seasonal and festive.
It sounds
it's just nice, easy, and we all need easy things
and
this
time
of year.
Did you say you buy it at the cheese shop or at the farmer's market?
You can get it. Birch Run Hills Farm often produces it, especially this time of year. Vermont Creamery, which is available typically at Whole Foods and places like that, also makes one. So like specialty markets, and then cheese shops often have it.
Hmm. I'm going to have to give it a try, yeah. Although I do tend to be a fan of the stinkier, stronger cheeses.
It's also a good one with fruit. So like I love apple slices with my cheese board, or this time of year, persimmon slices. You can do a little toast with like a little layer of fromage blanc,
and then a
slice of persimmon would be delicious.
Sounds very versatile.
Yeah, it's easy.
Well, this is a good one to add to our cheese repertoire.
That's right.
And I think with that tip, we're about ready to wrap up this episode of Local Mouthful. Our thanks go out to Dan Call for editing our show and to Rena Rose for providing the music. And we'd also like to thank Saul Rosenbaum for his lovely logos. And most of all, thank you for listening to us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Local Mouthful. And you can sign up for our newsletter to catch up on all of our past episodes and show notes at the website at localmouthful.com. Until next time, happy eating.